The book of Ephesians chapter 6, Lord willing, we want to look at these verses. We've just sung about being a sunbeam in the home, and we're back with the subject of the family, the home. Just the very first word of chapter 6, verse 1, children, children. Let's look to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this series that we've been engaged in, that there's so much practical teaching for us, important teaching of the duties of those who are in Christ. We realize that these duties are spiritual. They can only be carried out by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We've been reminded of that in Ephesians 5 and 18. But Lord, as we come to consider these three verses, guide us, we ask of thee, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Listen very, very carefully, children. Maybe your parents have said sometime to you, listen up. Well, children, I want you to listen very, very closely this morning. Because while all God's word is for every believer, it's profitable, these three verses are particularly for you. You say, well, what's a child? Well, I think anyone who, even in the young person, anyone who has the dependent, you could say, upon their parents for their care and for their provision, you could say, are classed by this. And here's a word just for you. God is speaking directly to you, Christian young person. Here's God's word. It's quite probable, it seems, that this letter from Paul would have been written to the congregation. Well, it was written to the congregation at Ephesus, but it's quite probable it was read out at a service, which indicates the young people were in the service. Isn't that logical? They must have been there to hear it. So they were in the service, and as the letter was read, and they're trying to listen, some of the letters difficult, of course, to take in and to study, all of a sudden they would have heard, young person, this is for you. So young person this morning, children, this is directly addressed to you. Obey your parents. Now, of course, Muslim children, children of atheists and of other and no religions can be taught to obey their parents, or in some cases made to obey their parents. But this is different, because the command here is, children, obey your parents in the Lord. What they cannot do, because they're not saved, they don't know the Lord, they cannot obey as unto the Lord. They cannot obey their parents. Yes, we're to obey them because they are our parents, but they cannot obey with the motivation, with the desire to please their heavenly Father. You see, over in Colossians 3 and 20, there's a parallel verse. And there it says that you're to obey them and to please the Lord in doing it. So a Christian child, the command is, you obey your father and mother as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Sometimes a question comes up, of course, when you're teaching this, and there's a question that say, oh, but what if they tell me to do something sinful? What if I'm told to do something that's against God's law? Well, of course, God's law comes first. But remember, the context is not of unsaved fathers and mothers. Of course, Christian children should obey them as long as it's a lawfully proper command of Scripture. But if you're commanded to steal or to kill, of course, a Christian young person doesn't do that. The context is a Christian father and mother. A Christian father and mother and a Christian child. Now, before we look at it, Christian young person this morning, or maybe you're not a Christian yet, but yet you have Christian parents, I want to say this to you. Are you listening carefully? You are among the most privileged people in this whole world to have Christian parents who love you and they pray for you. That's a wonderful privilege. Because we live in a society today where I think of how children are treated. I think of the aborted child, the abused child, the abandoned child. Isn't it wonderful this morning? You ought to say, thank you, Lord, right now that I have parents that love me. And God, in his wonderful grace and providence, has allowed me to be born in a family that loves the Lord. You could have been born away out in some foreign place where they've no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hasn't God been good to you this morning, children? It's wonderful. It's wonderful to see you here. But you ought to thank God today that you're a Christian and born in a Christian family. Joyce, you know, at the prayer meeting, told of how she goes into schools and the wonderful opportunities she has. But one thing she said was this: sometimes when she's in what we say state day school, she'll say to the children, how many of you go to Sunday school? Very, very few hands. How many attend a wee meeting, children's meeting? Very, very few hands. So aren't you privileged to be able to go to Sunday school and to be able to come to meetings and be able to sit in God's house and to have Christian parents? Well, God has two commands for you, Christian child, Christian young person. Two commands. First one in verse 1, you need to heed your parents. Heed them. Look what it says, obey your parents. Now that word obey literally means to hear under, to hear under. It has the idea of a soldier who hears under the orders of the superior officer. It's the idea of hearing a command when you are under authority. In other words, when we're a young person, we are under the authority of our parents. Of course, all of us are under authority in some way in life. By the way, that's one reason it is to be taught to obey our parents, because if we're not taught to obey our parents, we'll not obey our teachers at schools, and we'll not obey our boss when we're at work, and we'll just have that, we'll be in trouble. All of us have to be obedient to some authority, of course, to God's authority. You'll often find if a child's not taught to obey, they're not too quick to obey God either. But the idea of obey is to heed. Just like a soldier, the sergeant major barks out the orders. And I'm not saying a parent's like a sergeant major, but the idea is you're under authority. You're to hear under. And we read from the book of Proverbs, didn't we? Where Solomon said, son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Son, I wanted to be well for you in life. That's why Proverbs was written. Son, listen, hear, heed. Now that word obey, and if you love grammar in school, present tense imperative, what that simply means is, it doesn't just obey one time, it means continually. Continually obey, and it's a command. Your duty as a Christian child, a Christian young person, God is telling you here, you are to obey in all things, well-pleasing to the Lord. That's Colossians 3:20. God, it's well-pleasing to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Do you know when you have a young person or a child, where that division comes, I'm using both terms, but some young people say, don't call me a child, I'm a teenager now. So young people, when you see a young person willingly obey their parents, instantly, with joy, that's a beautiful thing to see. And Colossians 3:20, Paul wrote, the Lord's well pleased. So Christian young person, if there's times when you feel like doing something else, but your father or mother says, now come on, I want you to help with the dishes, or I want to do this, and you do it as unto the Lord, you say, well, I'd rather, but the Lord wants me to obey, I'll go and do it. God is pleased with you. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is pleased. And there's nothing as beautiful as to see a child that's obedient. There's nothing as terrible as to see a child disobedient. Terrible thing. It's an awful thing. It's so awful that there are two portions in God's Word in the New Testament, and you try and remember these. Romans chapter 1. And Paul takes us down to the very sewer of the depths of depravity in Roman pagan society of his day. And he describes awful, immoral, heinous, hellish iniquity. Terrible, terrible crimes, terrible, terrible sins in Romans chapter 1. Awful sins. And I quite correctly call them the very sewer pit. And right in the middle of those terrible immoral sins, you know what he puts? Disobedient to parents. You see, it's not a funny laughing matter. Not a funny laughing matter. It's a sign of depravity. But then, if you want to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is the other portion I'm thinking of in the New Testament. And Paul is now speaking about the last days. And in 2 Timothy 3, he's speaking about when people leave God and they depart from the truth. It's what we call apostasy, aperture. So this is a time when people have turned away from God. And in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, this know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Look at how that list goes on. Look at the next verse. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means they're very immoral. Fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, and so on. Terrible. And right in the middle is disobedient to parents. It's not just a wee laughing matter. In other words, disobedient to parents, it's a sign of depravity. And it's a sign of departure from God. That's why this is such a serious matter. Such a serious matter. Now, where does disobedience come from? It's an offshoot of rebellion. It comes from the heart. You see, because we're all descended from Adam and Eve, our first parents, we have a desire to go our own way. That's a natural thing. It's natural to be selfish. It's natural to think of ourselves. And when we are asked or told to do something that we would rather do something else, we say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, and I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. And isn't that what we see in society today? Rebellious. Nobody's going to tell us what to do. And that comes out of the heart. That comes out of the heart. We want to pander to our own way. And that's something we need to think about. We need to pander. We need to get over this. And Satan will seek to get us to go that way, to go our own way. And society will seek to get us to go that own way. But the idea is here, we're to be obedient to our parents. Now, let me just break in there for just a second, children. Adults here, are you obedient to your Heavenly Father? When He gives you a command in Scripture, do you argue with it? Or do you obey instantly and joyfully? We should. Over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 and 51, there's a wonderful, wonderful passage. Just a little verse that I'm after, and it really sums up, children, obey your parents. Because here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, here's an amazing thing. This is the only glimpse that we have of Christ from when he was a young child until at 30 years of age he began his ministry. You remember how he went up to the temple, a 12-year-old? And he went back to Nazareth. Now listen very carefully to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 51. Listen. And he, Luke 2:51, that's the Lord Jesus, went down with them, that's Mary and Joseph, and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. The Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, the all-knowing one, the great God, the almighty King. And yet in order to be our Savior, he took a human body and nature and he grew up as a child. And it says he was subject to Mary and to Joseph. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign God, could voluntarily choose to place himself in submission to Mary and Joseph, every Christian young person can be submissive to their father and mother. He is the example. So, parents, teach your children to obey you. Not just, you obey me or else. Of course, there's obviously punishment. We've talked about that another week. But you say, if they've come to know Christ and as they get older, no, you have to obey me because it pleases the Lord. Pleases the Lord. Do it for his sake. That's what you need to teach them. Well, look at verse 2 of Ephesians 6. You're to heed your parents, but you're not only to heed them. Look at verse 2. Honor thy father and mother. Honor thy father and mother. What's the difference? Well, to heed them is action. You obey. To honor them is the attitude with which you obey. Can you imagine a scenario? It wouldn't happen among our families, but can you imagine a scenario? Son, daughter, I want you to go and do the dishes. I don't want to do the dishes. But you go and do it, and you're whining and complaining and groaning and mumbling and... Well, you're heeding them. You're obeying them. But you're not honoring them. You're not honoring them. The attitude with which you do it. And it's an awful thing to show disrespect. It's an awful thing when you see disrespect to parents and the way children speak to and of their parents. Many a godly mother and father have wept at night on the pillow because of the way a son or a daughter have spoken to them and spoken in such harsh terms that have wounded right into their very hearts. Christian young person, don't speak disrespectfully to your parents. Don't do that. God says you're not to do that. In fact, we could go back to the book of Deuteronomy where there are many verses. You're to reverence. That's the word that's used. You're to reverence your father and mother. Reverence them. Tell them that you respect them. Tell them that you love them. I had a friend many years ago, and at various places he always used to say, if you were congratulating somebody, he'd always say, oh, I want to congratulate so-and-so because remember, and he'd come off with this poem, some lines, and all I can remember about it is, dead noses smell no roses. Never heard that? All the time he'd say, so-and-so's done a good job. Well, I just want to praise you because dead noses smell no roses. You know what I mean, don't you? Tell them when they're still living. Don't wait till they're dead. Tell them when they're still alive that you love them and you appreciate them. And so what we're saying here is, young men, young ladies, if you say you're a Christian, Christianity begins at home. It's what you are in the house. You cannot be right with God. You cannot be serving God as you should, and living for God, if you're not living for God in the home by obeying your parents. Simple, isn't it? It's not a difficult command to understand. So I'm saying, never show disrespect. Don't dishonor your parents. I love the way one American preacher put it. I heard him on tape saying it many years ago. He said, advising parents, never allow your children to show disrespect. Our children were disciplined for deliberate lying, for defiance, and for disrespect to their father and mother. And if I heard that one of my children was disrespectful to their mother, I'd bring them in and I'd say, listen, son, don't you speak to your mother like that. She went through the pain of birth to give you life. Don't you speak to your mother like that, because you'll have God to deal with. And don't you dare speak to your mother like that, because she's my wife and you'll have me to deal with. That's good, isn't it? God says it's a terrible thing to dishonor. To dishonor. Well, I thought about that. What about King Solomon? There he was, king on the great throne. His mother was a lady called Bathsheba. Oh yes, she committed sin with David. We know all about that. The child died, but then later on David married Bathsheba and Solomon was born. His father David's now dead. And there's a lovely passage where Solomon is sitting on a great throne, and it was a wonderful throne with the lions and all on it. Wonderful king. And it says Bathsheba came in. And you know what the king did? He got off his throne, and it says he bowed to his mother. Isn't that amazing? He was the great king. Everybody bowed to him. And he went over and he showed that respect and honor to his mother in front of all his courtiers. I think of Joseph. Joseph was the prime minister in Egypt. You remember how he was sold, hadn't seen his father for years, and how he revealed to his brothers he was still alive, book of Genesis. And then he heard his father's coming, bring my father down. And he got word that his father was on the way. They were near where Joseph was. You know what he did? Quickly, get the chariot. And he got in his chariot. Go as quick as you can. And he saw Jacob and he goes over. He rushes to him and he falls on his neck and weeps. And presents him to Pharaoh. He showed respect to his aged father. See, although we're speaking to young children today, it doesn't really stop, does it? It doesn't really stop all through our life. What about the Lord Jesus Christ when he was 33 years of age? John's Gospel, chapter 19. And he's hanging on the cross. And he's suffering as no human being has ever suffered. He, the innocent one. And he's been nailed to that tree. He's already been scourged, and the scourging sometimes killed people. And there he is in the agony and the blood and the taunts and the mockery and the pain of the crucifixion. And he looks down and there's his mother. And he speaks lovingly to her and gives her into the care of the disciple John. Even in the agony of the suffering for our atonement and dying, he thinks of his mother and he makes preparation for his mother's care. There's the example of how a son ought to treat his mother. In other words, we're to care for them when they're elderly. We're to obey them when they're young. We're to care for them when they're elderly. Now, I want you to notice you're to heed them. You're to honor them. Now, here's why. Well, we ought to do it because we love them, but there's a wonderful truth here in verse 2, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Christian, if you choose to honor your parents and to heed your parents, listen, God will honor you. That's the third point. God will honor you. There you have it behind us in the text, haven't we? Them that honor me, I will honor. God says to Christian young people this morning, if you will obey his command and honor your parents, God will honor you. That it may be well with you. Not wonderful. It may be well with you. In other words, you'll have a better life, a safer life, and a longer life. You will. You'll have a better life, a safer life, and a longer life if you learn to obey your parents. Now, you say, but hold on a minute, is that guaranteeing I'll live a long life? Well, it's a principle. It's not true in every case, but it's a general rule. Why is it not true in every case? The Lord Jesus Christ honored Mary and Joseph as no child ever has, because he was perfect. And yet he died at 33, because that was the will of God for him. But yet it is a general rule. It'll certainly be safer, be better for you. Picture the home, the hot stove, the hot fire. The mother or father says, now dear, don't touch that or you'll be burnt. I don't care what my... They get burnt, don't they? Better if they learn to obey. Now, as you get older in the teens, of course, it'll not be maybe as simple as that. You say, but why can't I associate with those friends? Why is my father or my mother telling me that I can't play with those people or I shouldn't associate? What do they know? Obey your parents. They know better. Listen to their advice. In fact, you know a very strange thing, young men? Maybe you're getting up to that stage where you're thinking about your future. Will you be married or not? I can't go into it, but you know, later on in the book of Proverbs, do you know the mother gave her son an acrostic poem on the girl that he ought to marry? My mother's not going to choose my bride for me. Isn't that right? I'll maybe do that when we talk about courtship. It's amazing, isn't it? He listened to his mother on the girl he should marry. What I'm saying is, parents, they know a lot. They know a lot. You see, Safer, you know what the interesting thing is? Sometimes teenagers, and we live in a world that oftentimes in media and all, they portray parents as old-fashioned, they don't know anything, they're not up to date. Oh, how sad. And young people go down that line, and their music and their thing, even into drugs. Oh, we know. Who is it makes money out of drugs and the music and all that? Adults who are not out for the benefit of you at all. They're out for money to exploit youth. But the parents that love you are there to warn you. You know what you find as you get older? You know, as you get older, teenager, your father gets wiser. It's amazing how much your father can grow in wisdom in a few years. Now, I'm joking. What I mean is this. You suddenly discover, I think it was Mark Twain said something like that. When he was 18, he thought his father knew nothing. And by 21, he was amazed how much his father had learnt in 3 years. No, he didn't. What he meant was he learnt that his father was the wise one. It's safer. It can save your life. I know a true story where, you know, we lived in the jungle in New Guinea, although it wasn't as dangerous as people think. And one of the missionaries in another part of missionary work, the mother was there. The mother shouted to the little girl and just said, "Stay still!" Just a young child, I can't remember what age now, but just more like a toddler. "Stay still, don't move!" Child had learned to obey. Then the mother went and got what we all carried in New Guinea. You hardly ever went out without one of these. Cut the head off the poisonous snake that was near to her. That little girl was glad she learned to obey and didn't. Why am I not going to do it, mate? The Bible makes it clear there. It'll be well with you. But of course, it's more than that. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. It'll be better for your life. By the way, George Washington, if you like American history, the first president of the United States, do you know his case? His trunk was already on board a ship. He wanted to be a seaman. And yet his mother didn't want him to go. And he ordered that the case be taken back off. He said, "Mom, I'll not go against your wishes." He became the president of the United States. Of course, I'm not saying this morning you obey your parents, you'll be a president. But it'll be well with you. God will honor you. That's the point. God will bless you. What is better in life than to have the blessing of Almighty God upon your life? And God gives you a promise this morning, children. If you will heed and honor your parents, God says in these verses, look at it, it's wonderful. God says here that it may be well with thee. God promises he will give you a blessing. God promises he will bless your life if you will obey and honor your parents. And what is better than having the blessing of God in your life? I think of Absalom. Now, part of it was David's fault. He didn't treat Absalom and train him the way he ought to. But you think of Absalom, a disobedient son. And he conspired against his own father, King David. How does he end up? Hanging from a tree and killed. Oh, listen, it's a serious, serious matter. Heed your parents. Care for them when they're an elderly, because it'll bless them. But listen, turn over to Malachi for a moment, just as we want to sum this up. Now, this is a message for all of us. You say, well, I'm no longer a child. My parents have died. I can't go back and show them how much I honor them. I remember them. I thank God for them. And many of us probably do this morning can say that. But yet, believer, there's a word for you, because what I've said practically for young people under the care of their parents. Look at Malachi chapter 1 and 6. Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi, of course you probably know that some people call it Malachi. You've heard of some people in Northern Ireland called Malachi. Well, that's what it's from. We say Malachi. But anyway, Malachi chapter 1, and look at verse 6. This is God speaking. And the people are worshipping God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. And he says in verse 6, a son honoreth his father. In other words, sons, you honor your father. But look on down. A servant is master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? What he's saying is, you say you're my people. You say you honor me, but you don't. You don't. And if you read on in the chapter, you know what they were doing. They were coming to worship God. And you know, in the Old Testament, they had the sacrifices of the animals. They were to bring an animal that was without spot and blemish, because that would represent the coming Lord Jesus Christ, who would be the Lamb of God. And you know what they were doing? They were bringing animals that had been torn. Animals that had been torn, had died. In verse 8 of that, they offer the lame and the sick. Is it not evil? And on down in verse 13, animals that were torn. Instead of bringing proper offerings, the best of the flock, the lamb that was without spot and blemish, you know what they did? Oh, there's a lamb, the dogs have attacked it during the night, and it's lying dead. It's all ripped up. Oh, we'll offer that to God. So we'll give that to God. We'll fulfill their duty. We're supposed to offer an animal, give them that one. They mightn't have said it with their lips, but that's what they were doing. Do you know torn animals were not to be eaten? They could be fed to the dogs. You know what they were giving God? Dog meat. Imagine offering God dog meat. And God said, you call me your father. Where's the honor? And that's a challenge to those of us who name the name of the Lord. We sang at the beginning, Our Father, which art in heaven. Do we heed our Heavenly Father? Do we honor our Heavenly Father? Do we obey him? Do we serve him? And you over in John's Gospel, we're told in chapter 14:21, Christ said this, if you obey the commandments, I will reveal myself, I will manifest myself unto the person that obeys. You know, one of the reasons maybe we don't know our Heavenly Father as we could know him, that we can't enjoy his fellowship as we should, we're not honoring him. We're not obeying him. Of course, if you're not saved this morning, you're showing total disrespect, total dishonor to the Almighty God who holds your breath, holds your heartbeat. And yet you're still refusing to submit to him. Let's honor our Heavenly Father in all that we do and say. And if you are still a child, a young person, under the authority of parents, honor them for your Heavenly Father's sake and for Christ's sake and for his glory.